Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here for our weekly show, The Tenpenny Files on Your Health and More. For the last 25 years, almost 25 years, I've done literally thousands of interviews on television, podcast, radio, and almost all my information one way or another has been about vaccines. But as a board-certified physician that was the director of a level 2 trauma center for 12 years, and I have a massive integrative medicine practice here in Cleveland, Ohio, since 1996, there's so much more to talk about, and particularly to talk about on your health. So I started this show so we could focus on that separate from the other shows that I do. So tonight, before I introduce to you my special friend, my special guest, one of the five docs and one of the massive misinformation dozen people, Dr. Christian Northrup, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We got a lot of fun and a lot of things to talk about tonight. You won't want to miss this. We'll be right back.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant, you can take it when you're nursing, you can give it to little children, you can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out. The heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch within our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Dr. Christian Northrup is a visionary pioneer in women's health, a board-certified OB-GYN, and author of three New York Times best-selling books, Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom, The Wisdom of Menopause, and The Goddesses Never Age. You know, I could spend the next 5 minutes reading all the accolades and all the things that she's done, all the awards that she's won, all the television shows she's been on, how she was one of the 100 most trusted people in America. But I think everybody who watches this show kind of knows who Chris is. And they follow us on Critically Thinking. They see us on the five docs that we've been doing now for several years. So I'm just going to go away from that and go directly to saying, because we got so many things we want to talk about. I think you know who she is. So I want to say, Chris, thank you so much for being on our show tonight. It's just, just seems as though that this should have happened a long time ago.
I know. But here's what I want the whole world to know. I have children who are in their 40s and they got almost no vaccines because of Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. So I want you all to know how long she has been telling the truth and saving lives. So let me just say that.
Well, one of the things, I interview on some of my other shows a lot of authors, and I'm always mesmerized by somehow, I have had people on the show that have written 20, 30 books. I mean, I can barely crank out one, I've written two books. But man, it's a labor of love and it takes a lot of time. And I'm just always kind of jaw dropped by people who've written so many books. You've written three New York Times bestsellers. How did that come about? How did you begin to writing and how did you write those books? And how did they become New York Times bestsellers?
What happened was I was a past president of the American Holistic Medical Association in the 80s and 90s. And on the board there. And I would begin to give talks in 1982 on PMS. And what I was noticing is that women got better from lifestyle changes. And it also occurred to me, how can it be that 80% of women are suffering from a normal physiologic function? That means there's something wrong with the culture, not something wrong with the woman. And as I begin to talk about this stuff, I noticed even in holistic circles, nobody was talking about any of it. Nobody. And I was also working with the laws of the universe, the law of manifestation, all of that stuff. And again, I was noticing no one was putting all this stuff together. And one day I literally stood at my bedside table, and I'd written a little article for a feminist publication called Woman of Power. And it gave my main thesis, which is this many women suffer from all of these things. And then I put in the cultural context, 1 in 3 will be raped in her lifetime, on and on and on and on, what happens to the feminine and women. And I said, so this is the language that the body uses to get our attention to this distress of the original sin of being born female. Well, now that seems irrelevant, because at this particular point, you know, all of the things that we called womanly are being taken over by men, things that we never could have imagined. You know, that your little third grade daughter, when she goes to the bathroom in her public school, if a boy decides that he's a girl, he can go in there. I mean, this is ridiculous, but they've pushed it too far now. But anyway, that's what happened. And I'm literally asking God, okay, show me the next best use of my gifts and talents. I remember this on a Friday at 2 in the afternoon, a literary agent calls me and says, I think it's time you wrote a book. And remember, by that time, I'd had women sitting in my office telling me about childhood sexual abuse, all the stuff that had happened to them that they had never told anyone. Because I remember the grand rounds that I would go to, Sherry, and the head of OBGYN, let's say at one of the fancy Boston hospitals, would start to talk about the abuse, the sexual abuse, and chronic pelvic pain, and all this stuff. And he would say things like, well, we all know why that is, because she's nuts. Women have been called crazy for so many years. You know, if you had a wife that you didn't like and you wanted to marry a new one, you just had your wife put in an insane asylum. History is kind of rife with that. And in the time of Walt Whitman, they removed ovaries in order to stop women from having hysteria. The word hysterectomy comes from the Greek hysteria, like you remove the womb and you'll stop the hysteria. So women's voices have not been listened to. So I'd spent all of the 80s with women sitting on the couch in my office and bursting into tears because a doctor was listening to them for the first time. Then we had a therapist at our first center, Women to Women, and she would do in-depth therapy on them. And she was also did art and had looked at all the ancient cultures where women's bodies were seen as sacred. And so I began to put together a language of women's health, not women's disease. You know, women's health in our culture right now is this. Well, we're going to screen better and better and better. So now we have these new high resolution mammograms and MRIs and the Da Vinci robot, so that you can get your hysterectomy with a frickin' robot. That still doesn't address why do we have 60% of women having a hysterectomy by the age of 60? Or this attitude from one of the residents I trained. She said, well, I've had my kids. They can take my uterus. I don't need it anymore. It's just to grow cancer. So we have had such a troublesome relationship with the organs that identify us as female. So what I did was invent a language of women's health instead of let's get it early and let's cut it out. I mean, the number of bilateral mastectomies has increased, I think, 400% since Angelina Jolie came out with that, you know, the breast cancer gene and all that. So now we're seeing younger and younger women having bilateral mastectomies because of surveillance fatigue. They're so afraid that they're going to find something on a mammogram and, you know, some aunt had breast cancer. So, you know, just remove them and I won't have to worry about it anymore. When Hillary Clinton was the first lady, in the Mother's Day cards, they put, have a mammogram. This is your duty to have a mammogram, because otherwise you're being selfish, because you as the mother, you know, you could die and mammograms save lives, which they do not. And I was on stage in San Diego years ago and finally said, you know, I've never had a mammogram. My God, Sherry, there was pandemonium in the ladies' room, because what women are led to believe is that the mammogram saves lives. And I was taking that away from them, in the same way that when we questioned the masks and the COVID shots, we were taking away the very thing that was their crutch, thinking that this was going to save them. Made in the image of God, no, that won't save you, because God's made some big mistakes on your body, of course. Klaus Schwab knows better. You know, and then a radiologist nearly spit in my face back then. He said, you're dangerous. You are dangerous. And now we know, you know, DCIS, ductal carcinoma in situ, is not cancer. It should be called idle, indeterminate, lesion of insignificance. So women are getting their breasts removed for stage zero cancer, which is not cancer. And so that's what I was addressing. Now, in terms of how did they become bestsellers, that was God. Because I remember being on the 45th floor of the Bertelsmann building, the same company that brought you the Gutenberg Bible and Mein Kampf, German family that owns all of publishing. And the publicist looks at me and she sees this like 800 page book. And she goes, you know, what's this book is about? What is it about? Like, how am I going to sell this book? I'll never forget it. And I said, the angels are going to sell this book. And wow. Both my literary agent at the time, who's now dead, and this publicist at the time, who's now dead, they couldn't understand how this book sold. They couldn't get it. But women all over the world got it. And here's what I've heard, Sherry. You wrote about things that I inherently knew inside me, and I never heard a doctor say it. So I was giving voice to something. You know how when you finally nail it, like the term surveillance fatigue, you know, why do you finally just go and, you know, just take them off? You know, because you're so tired of being told, well, another shadow showed up. And you know how that is as a doctor. The minute anything shows up, you're obligated to find out what it is. And then you might find something that you would most likely die with, but not die from. And that was Gilbert Welch, who was at Dartmouth, and he wrote an amazing book, Should I Be Tested for Cancer? Maybe not, and here's why. Now, this was in the pre-COVID days. Now, we're seeing all the turbo cancers because we've messed up the immune system. But,
you know, I've said for years when I used to do community talks, because I'm getting ready to do another one on thermography, on breast thermography.
Nice.
And one of the things that I always said when I was talking to a group of women was that if you get a diagnosis of breast cancer, the very first thing you need to do is sit down and take a deep breath.
Yes.
Just sit down and take a deep breath, because you a lot more than me, but I've seen women who are, get a mammogram on Monday, a biopsy on Tuesday, surgery on Wednesday, and they start chemotherapy on Thursday before they even have to ask questions what are my options? Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I wait? Can I observe it? You know, there's a big long list of things. And I always have told people to take a spreadsheet, because I'm a big spreadsheet girl, and to make a matrix, and down the side, put all of your questions, and across the top, put all the doctors that you're going to see, or you're going to call, the alternative clinics, the integrative clinics, if you're going to see a minimum of three different oncologists, and you've got all the same questions, and then keep a matrix of everything that they say. And then when they get done with them, you know, you can whittle down the information and then sit quietly and listen. You know, what does your women's intuition, that I know you've written about a lot, you talk a lot about, what does your woman's intuition tell you about what is the right thing to do? And you'll nail it. And it might be that your woman's intuition says, I know I will die without chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Then you
yeah.
need to do that. And if your woman's intuition says, I know that chemotherapy will kill me, you better listen to that too. You know, and so, you know, just take a deep breath. This is not a 5-alarm fire. You're not going to die within, like, you're choking and you can't breathe. You know, that's been growing for 8 years before it even showed up. And so take your time. And I think that was really, and probably the point that you probably told thousands of women that same thing. Just take your time.
Yeah, well, and I also had women who didn't do anything that was conventional and completely
suffer
breast cancer. But these would be the ones who could withstand
the pressure,
being yelled at for an hour by Dr. Susan Love, who was the big breast cancer person at the time. I mean, I really had people who, I mean,
did you ever talk to her? Did you ever actually talk to her?
Nope.
No? Wow. It would have been great to have had you, the two of you on the stage having a debate, you know?
Yeah. The big debate that I had was, this was funny. This was my very last Oprah appearance. No, it wasn't. But at my last Oprah appearance in Chicago, where I had the chief of OBGYN at Northwestern and Suzanne Summers. And I was the referee between those two people.
Oh, wow.
About bioidentical hormones. And Oprah couldn't get anyone else who would stand up to Suzanne Summers. She couldn't get any doctor to do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you ever meet Dr. Lee? You know, Dr. Lee.
Yes. That was, the progesterone guy.
Progesterone guy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I met he was at the American Holistic Medical Association. That's why I started to use the 2% progesterone cream. And my God, that helped so many people with migraines, and they put it on their feet. Yeah, he was great. And his daughter, and they started the company Amerita, I think, or Progest, either one. And you can get it on Amazon. Yeah, I've used that stuff forever. Yeah, great stuff.
Well, speaking of progesterone, because that was where I got, where my segue into women's health was through him and through the progesterone thing. Let's talk a little bit about perimenopause, because you and I are old. we're long past our pre-menopause days.
Yes.
But there's a young crop of women that are coming up
that
all they hear from and about is conventional doctors who just want to put them on estrogen or put them on the birth control pill, and they don't have any idea about their headaches and the night sweats and all those different things. We really need that segment of the population to get some good information and to be educated. Why don't you start to talk about that a bit?
Okay, so perimenopause is a 6 to 13 year period of time that is adolescence in reverse, which will bring up all the unfinished business from the time that you were 13 and 14. And it is a beginning of the ovulations being skipped. So you don't have this sort of lovely buildup to ovulation. And then the progesterone comes on board from the corpus luteum in the ovary that produces progesterone. And then you get a uniform kind of decidual shedding. Instead, you're kind of between the worlds. And it's really interesting that right at ovulation, FSH, LH in the pituitary rise at the same time, you get a peak of testosterone, the cervical mucus becomes burned, you're maximally receptive to pregnancy, but also ideas and so on. You get wolf whistles from the construction workers, even if you're just in your yoga stuff, because there's a pheromone that goes out. But what happens, you're between the worlds there for about 6 to 13 years if it's a normal perimenopause. If it's from a hysterectomy or from radiation, it can be instant. But what happens is you're moving into your wisdom years. So the FSH-LH that were peaking at ovulation now stay up at that ovulatory level for the rest of your life once you get past menopause. And I think it's how God wires in wisdom. It's, because our bullshit detector is way better than it used to be. We're not trying so hard to be loved. We're not 25 anymore. So it's very interesting about this wiring in of wisdom. But in the meantime, it's like you come to a crossroads in your life, grow or die. And all the stuff that isn't working in your life comes up and hits you between the eyes. In my own case, I had a fibroid that was getting bigger and bigger because that estrogen dominance feeds fibroids, which are creativity that hasn't been birthed yet, or shoving your creative energy into a dead end job or relationship. In my case, it was the dead end relationship. And I can tell you, it is the last place you want to look. You do not want to know this because you know darn well it's going to be so disruptive. It's almost like, you know, the whole COVID thing has been perimenopause for the entire culture. So, you know,
Great analogy. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, I ran up on stage once in New York City. I'll never forget it. And I said, I have a fibroid as big as my husband's head. You know, from it, when you, you know, you say things that are the truth, but you don't, you think you're joking. And when I finally, after doing acupuncture and diet change and that castor oil packs, I finally just had the thing out. One Thanksgiving, I'm trying to find a dress in which I don't look 30 weeks pregnant, and I couldn't. And I said, what are you doing? You know someone who can remove this so easily. As Dr. Hunt down in Boston, I sent him all my infertility patients, and he was so such a wonderful man. And so I went down there, and then I did the Peggy Huddleston prepare for surgery, heal faster. She'd done a lot of research at New England Baptist. And you just ask the anesthesiologist to say these things to you before you go under because you're in a hyper-suggestible state. And so the one that I remember saying is, and so please say to me this as I'm going to sleep, and when I awaken, the pattern that created this will have left my body. And I was a single woman 2 years later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So
wow.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it was, I needed, and that's really, Sherry, that's when my career took off, because I was always trying to juggle being, you know, Mrs. So-and-so the third versus being Dr. Northrup, because I didn't want to be, you know, kind of a world leader in women's health. I had no desire to do that. I just knew that this is what I was had to do, create this new language of women's health and teach women and all of that. But my then husband couldn't stand it that he was starting to be called Mr. Northrup whenever. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway.
I get it. There was a guy that I dated once. This was before I married Kevin. Kevin and I got married in 2004. So this was a guy that I dated, and he was pretty well off and financial. He was in the financial services industry. But we would go places and people would call him Mr. Tenpenny. And he said, I can't deal with this. I just can't imagine living the rest of my life in your shadow. And we broke up.
Yeah.
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 So go back to what you were saying about women, about young 40-year-olds and perimenopause. What do you want?
So anyway,
to know about?
So, and now we've got all the millennials are in there. And now, though, unfortunately, the armamentarium of modern medicine is kind of worse than ever. So they're given psych meds, you know, for feeling a little down. Now, remember what I said. Your life is under a microscope during perimenopause. Nature doesn't waste anything. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to go on hormone replacement, but you do need to clean up your diet. You need to start exercising. You need to look at where your energy is going. And the other thing that's happening to a lot of women is that they're facing the empty nest for the first time. You know, like this is interesting. The number of times I've seen this, including in myself, you take your final child off to college and you have your last period, even if you haven't had one for 8 months. It's like Carolyn Mace, the medical intuitive, would say, blood is family always.
Wow.
So it's so fascinating. So a lot of women, and I remember this, Sherry, I saw this a lot. You'd see a woman come in and she suddenly, you know, got pregnant at 43. And, you know, and these women would say to me, I don't know how it happened. Really? Because you got two other kids and I don't know, you know, how do you not know? But what it would be is they knew how to do motherhood and all of that involved, the soccer games and all that. What they didn't know was what's next. Like, what's next? And you're kind of facing a void. But if you realize that what's coming back up is the childhood soul contract, as it were, like who you really were. So I always say to women, try to remember what you loved when you were 11. Like, what did you love? Because when the menstrual period starts, you shut down here. The tonsils are like the ovaries. The fifth chakra gets shut down as the second chakra opens up, and you stop telling the truth and you start trying to please others, at least if you're an empath. And so anyway, your hormones are kind of all over the place for 6 to 12 years. And there are so many things you can do. You don't need to suffer. And that's the main thing I want people to know. They don't need to suffer.
Where would they go? How would they? Because I know you're not practicing anymore. You're not seeing patients.
No, I'm not. Well, the first thing that I would do is I would start to do things like do a liver cleanse. Do this kind of thing, or, you know, read The Wisdom of Menopause, read my book. I mean, I've got it all in there. Well, you know, there's a nutrition plan and a breast plan and, put castor oil packs on your lower abdomen. And then because I began to research what to do, I came up with a whole product line using the herb Pereria Morifica, which means miracle herb. And it's been used in Thailand for 700 years by men and women. And it's the most potent phytoestrogen in the world, called mirasterol. Now, the thing about the phytoestrogens, which pretty much no Western-trained MD understands, I mean, my God, Sherry, you and I both know this. They don't know the difference between Provera and bioidentical progesterone. They don't know the difference. I used to show this on PBS. I'd say, okay, this is Provera. This is bioidentical progesterone. Notice how different they are, you know, but then still, no, doctors don't know. So they really don't know.
You know, one of the things that the thing that I used to point out to them all the time was, you know, progesterone is essential to a normal pregnancy. It glues the baby in it. You have to have progesterone until the baby's ready to come out. It's essential. Provera is contraindicated during pregnancy. I mean, how can they be the same thing? Exactly. And they get this look on their face. So I never thought about that.
It's the same look as if you start to question vaccines and then they completely change. And, you know, this, CD goes in or MP3. So anyway, I began to do research on this phytoestrogen, and it lands on the beta estrogen receptor. Now, there are estrogen receptors throughout the body, the brain, the skin, the uterus, the ovaries, the vagina. When you stimulate the beta estrogen receptor, you have what amounts to a selective estrogen receptor modulator, a SERM like tamoxifen. So you're preventing overgrowth of estrogen tissue. And instead, it's an adaptogen, like a naturopath would say, where if your body doesn't have enough, then this the term is nourishes and tonifies. We have no language for this in conventional allopathic medicine. And if you have too much estrogen, it downregulates. If you don't have enough, it upregulates. So I created this product line. We put in a little Atlantic kelp. And, you know, my favorite product really is this vaginal moisturizer. This stuff is like gold. It makes your husband into your boyfriend. And it absolutely thickens the vaginal tissue. And what you find in today's world is, well, just try to get in with an OBGYN who will talk to you and spend more than 10 minutes. And then you're stuck with a prescription. My sister needed some Estrace cream for a procedure she had. It was $350 for a tube. I mean, I try to keep people out of the pharmacy. And so, you know, what I would recommend, you start on, change your diet, do some exercise. It's perfectly reasonable if you're having hot flashes, night sweats, sleeplessness, whatever. Smooth out the hormonal swings with something like the Pereria Morifica. And this is Pereria Morifica Plus, and we have a men's product. And You know, it's a lot of people just swear by it. And some people are able to sleep within 4 nights, and we don't know exactly why.
Why? So tell people before we go to a break here real quick, because I know I'm going to get deluged with, where can I get this? Where can people get the vaginal cream? Where can they get that? And we're going to talk about the other product after the break, but where can they go to get your vaginal cream?
It's called Amata Life, A-M-A-T-A Life, LIFE.com. Mm-hmm. But there's links to everything on drnorthrup.com. So, you know, you can always go there. But
that would be the one that they could probably remember because they know you, and everything kind of links up to drnorthrup.com. I get it. Everything in my life links up to drtenpenny.com. So people can remember that. So we're going to take a quick break here. We've got some really interesting information that I want to bring to you about these products and a couple of other things. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our Opti line, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast, when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Tonight, we're speaking to the one and only, my dear friend, my partner in crime over at the Five Docs and also the Disinformation Dozen, Dr. Christiane Northrup. I don't know why we haven't done this before, but I am so grateful to have you here with us tonight, Chris. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's really fun. In fact, you know, Sherry, I was talking because, you know, I'm definitely a fringe. So I was talking with a woman from Egypt, and she has a very special relationship with Yeshua. Jesus. And she said, as soon as she started to talk about this in 2011, she lost her YouTube channel. So therefore, you know that what she was saying is real. And she said, there's really only about four people that I want to talk to because we were all there at the time of Yeshua. Sherry Tenpenny, Carrie Made, Lee Merritt, me.
Wow. Seriously? Yeah. That happened?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And look at how we, like, in this lifetime coalesce together as the Five Docs. That's just amazing. Wow.
It was really amazing. Yeah.
Well, introduce me. I'd love to speak with her. I think that would be
good. I will. I will. Yeah, that'd be great.
You know, you've got a new product and I'm not sure, and you sort of flash it up there a little bit. Is it called Refersion? Refersion
I don't know what that is.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because that's what your people told me to talk to you about tonight.
Really? That's fascinating. I don't know what they're... Let me go over here. I wanted to talk about the, you know, the product line of Amata Life and the Pararia Morifica.
Menopause relief. Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah. Pararia Morifica.
Plus 60 days and things like that. Because we've now got that on our page.
Great.
And it's and all those different things. So why don't you tell people a little bit more? You've sort of brushed by it a little bit. So go into a little bit more detail about it.
Okay. So the sort of... standard product is the Pararia Morifica capsules. And you would take one in the morning, one at night. Although I have some people who only need one a day and some people who will take four a day.
Hmm.
And these very often completely get rid of hot flashes. The other thing we find is that they restore moisture in the mucous membrane. So a lot of women in perimenopause get dry eyes because the mucous membranes around the eyes also have estrogen receptors. And so when you take this product, oftentimes within 4 days, you're sleeping better, your hot flashes go away, moisture is restored. Now, it's really odd that in the female body, some women taking the systemic product still need something for vaginal dryness. And that's where we came up with the Pereria Morifica vaginal moisturizer. And it comes in two forms. It comes in the plain, but also a warming kind, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
And this stuff, what's interesting, it seems to turn on the moisture so that you don't need to use it very much. So you use it like daily for about, you know, a week or two, just with your fingers. I did not do an applicator. I thought, come on, women, we've got to be able to know our own anatomy. So I'm not going to have this come with an applicator. Plus, when I was starting this, you know, the FDA was talking about, well, anything that goes in the vagina is a medical device. And at the time, I wanted to line up all the men, you know, okay, guys, you better go register that medical device you got there. So this stuff, and you can go to PubMed and see the studies, but the Pereria Morifica gel completely re-estrogenizes and thickens the vaginal tissue. The other thing that this does systemically is sex drive comes back. And again, remember, this is not a steroid hormone. It is not testosterone. It is not 17-beta estradiol. It is not progesterone. It is a plant hormone that's been used in Thailand forever. And I went over there to Thailand to visit the jungles where it is wild harvested by, and there are 25 different species. So you need to have the very specific people in Thailand who know what they're doing. And so it's wild harvested at certain times of the year. Then it is sent over here. We make the products in a pharmaceutical grade facility called BioBotanica on Long Island. And they've been in this business for like 50 years, doing plant extracts and so on. So, and then I pray over it so that, you know, so that we have that frequency in the products. We also have one for men, Pereria Morifica Plus for men. And the feedback we get on this is that they don't have to get up at night to go to the bathroom nearly as much because it helps protect the prostate from, you know, excess xenoestrogens in the environment and so on. So that's, and we've got some skin creams and so on as well. But the major products are the Pereria Morifica. And if you're already on the cofactors, because we've got methylated folate, methylated B12, and we have iodine in here, so that your liver knows how to metabolize it. But if you're already taking those supplements, we have one called PM Pure, Pereria Morifica Pure, which is just the Pereria Morifica, if you're, you know, already replete with all your nutrients.
That's really great. So since you're not practicing anymore, like I'm not seeing patients anymore either. Since you're not seeing patients anymore, do you keep up with the OB-GYN things of what's going on in that world? Or is that, like, for me, I don't, you know, it's
no,
like,
I feel like
it's like I wrote Dear Sherry, blah, 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 the end, period, turn the page. And now I'm on to other things. Are you the same way, or do you still keep up with different things because you're developing products or things like that? No, not really.
Well, the problem is, like, I finally rescinded my membership in the American College of OBGYN, where I've been a fellow forever. I just said goodbye because they're recommending the COVID shot in pregnancy. I was horrified when they started recommending the flu shot in pregnancy in the 90s and a DPT. I'd meet these young women. Now, I wasn't doing obstetrics then. I'd meet these young women. They'd say, I'm going in for my routine vaccines in pregnancy when they're telling you not to eat tuna. Are you kidding me? And it's like, now, Sherry, in my field, we got rid of the word mother. We got birthing parent. We got rid of the word breastfeeding. We got chest feeding. My profession has become so woke. They're so out of control. I don't listen. I don't look at Medscape anymore because it is all pharma, 100% pharma.
Yep.
And I can't do it. So therefore, people like you and I and Lee and Carrie, we have got to stay healthy because the new people coming up, they don't know any of this. All they know is better living through chemistry.
Mm.
Yeah.
Boy, that's true. And, you know, I've always said for a long, long time in some of my community talks, you know, they have trained us well, that if we are symptom-free in the presence of pharmaceuticals, we call that healthy. Like, I can't tell you how many patients I've seen over the years that would come in, say, with knee pain. You know, they want me to do acupuncture, whatever, on their knee. They'd say, other than that, I'm perfectly healthy. And then you take their history. They're on high blood pressure medicine. They're on a sleep med. They're on something for depression. They're, you know, something for, you know, gastrointestinal sort of things. I'm just like, you're not healthy. Look at all these different things you're taking. Well, I feel great. There's nothing, you know, nothing wrong except my knee hurts. That's why I'm here, is because my knee hurts. And it's like, so we have been trained very, very well by the television commercials and all the things that our doctors tell us, that symptom-free in the presence of pharmaceuticals is health. And that's an absolute lie. It is not health. It's the antithesis of health.
Isn't there a CPT code? There's an insurance billing code, by the way, for unvaccinated.
Oh,
like that diagnosis.
Yeah.
That's so they can track us all down, of course.
Yeah, so they can track us down. And, you know, and people, when they say, well, the doctors don't make much money with vaccines, there's entire courses to teach people how to code appropriately.
So they know how to
do the evaluation. They get paid for drawing the medicine up in the syringe. They get paid for the nurse administering each one of those different things. They get paid for any follow-up in terms of complication. And so their entire courses to teach people how to maximize their billing when they're vaccinating things. I would imagine the same thing is true with like all the different things in OB-GYN, all the different procedures that people do.
And look at what we do in OB-GYN. You make sure that a newborn has a Hep B shot. 99% of newborns get a Hep B shot, which contains 15 times what's considered a safe level of aluminum that goes right into the brain. And then they get a vitamin K shot, which makes the baby hypercoagulable. I mean, and we clamp the cord too soon. I mean, so what it's done though, Sherry, and this is always interesting in God's world. So when you cramp people down in here, then something else happens over here. So what we're seeing in my field that's so interesting to me, there's a whole YouTube channel called Free Birth.
Oh, wow.
Women are just saying, I'm done. Now, I'm not saying this is a good idea. I'm saying the pendulum has swung so far over here because I happen to be an intern when fetal monitoring was brought in for the first time. And the cesarean section rate went from 10% to 25% overnight because nobody knew how to read the monitor. And to this day, now listen to this, everybody, to this day, there hasn't been one single study that has shown that fetal monitoring does anything more than increase the intervention and C-section rate. It has never been shown to improve outcomes. It's only been shown to improve interventions.
You know, and then you hear the mother of, you know, this, well, we had to have the C-section because the baby was going to die.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I had to have this emergency C-section because their heart rate was slowing down. You know, and so we've made it. And then they'll say, the doctor told me if I'd have waited just 10 more minutes, the baby would have died. This big hysteria fear thing. It's sort of like when I would hear people coming in with their knee pain and they'll go, well, I have to get a total knee replacement because it's bone on bone. And I would just roll my eyes because bone doesn't have any pain receptors. It, you know, the cartilage does. Cartilage has a lot of pain receptors. Bone has, doesn't, you know, if it's bone on bone, it doesn't really mean anything, you know? And so there's lots of other things that you can do, but the doctors will make it sound so horrible. Like, oh my gosh, I've got to get this knee replaced because it's bone on bone, you know?
It's no wonder they've wanted to silence us.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it though? Really, oh my gosh.
Cutting into their pocketbook in a
significantly. Yeah. You know, there, I was just listening to a little clip of a YouTube video just a little bit ago this evening with Senator Kerry, who has now decided that freedom of speech is an annoyance and we must get rid of it. And that he was at the World Economic Forum meeting and he was talking about all of these disinformation and misinformation people that before we were able to form consensus and by consensus, we could move things forward. You know, that science by consensus thing.
But
we've got all these misinformation people out there that are confusing the fact and we can't get anything done. And so it's all because of this freedom of speech, this, you know, this, our constitutional right, our First Amendment, and it just has to go. So that's the really a big thing that's coming. It was just at the World Economic Forum, probably in the last week, just talking about that. And Tedros has been talking about it. They've all been talking about giving misinformation or disinformation, anything that goes against the government's. This is what the government says. If you say, well, wait a minute, I don't think so. Here's some information that I disagree with that. That they're talking about making that a felony.
Yeah, there are people put in jail for memes in England. Now, it's not going to work. And you'll be happy to know that the Draco reptilians and the CCAR and the negative ETs that have been running this agenda are now off the planet. They are gone. So we're going to see some changes. I was listening to Cliff High this afternoon, and he said the United States will become the organic breadbasket for the entire world. We will be getting rid of all of this stuff, and we will be the ones doing the innovation. Because we can, you know, you can clean up a lot of this stuff in farmland with very specific bacteria and with hydrating the soil and that kind of thing. So what's coming is very exciting. Now, it's going to get a little bumpy there for a while as we move from the Federal Reserve note, which is the debt slave system, to an asset-backed currency. Because they were able to just print money and, you know, pay off all the criminals, but they won't be able to do that anymore. So that's where we're going.
Well, that'll be really good because I did an interview just yesterday with Chris Burgard, who's the director of The War on Truth, which is a unbelievable movie about the pulling back the curtain on J6 and what happened to those people. And he has, asked him in the interview, the first thing I asked him was like, how in the world did you get that footage? How did you get some of that footage that I've never seen before? He said, well, Sherry, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff. And actually they had a showing with Congress. I said, how many of them showed up? He said, a few, but a lot of them sent their staffers to take notes and things like that. So he said there was a pretty good, and he said, and the ones that were there were furious that they were like, why is it that I had to get this information from watching a movie? Which is a 2-hour movie. And for those that are listening, it can be found on hisglory.tv. And it's called The War on Truth. It is a must watch. Every American, and I'm going to be talking about this on all of my shows, because every American must watch this. Because it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. It's not a political movie. It's just a fact-based, this I was there and this is what really happened movie. It was really, really good. And I talked to him about, you know, because he interviewed so many of the people that either were in prison or were going to prison, and that they were put in prison for misdemeanors. It's the first time in the history of America. And he actually talked to a couple of judges that it was the first time in the history of America that people were put in prison, federal prison, for 7 years over a misdemeanor. Mm. And so I said to him, one of the questions that I asked him was, you know, how do we fix this? I mean, if you've got a corrupt Department of Justice, you've got judges that are just 10 years, 5, 7 years, whatever, just here and there. Who do you appeal? And Congress isn't listening. Nope. Nobody's investigating it. The police are in on it. The FBI is corrupt to the core.
Yep.
And all these, who do we appeal to? And he said, we've got to get this information out to the whole general public. So the people that watch it go, well, it's sort of like the COVID stuff that we talked about over the last 4 years.
Right.
It's like, if they lied to me about this, what else did they lie to me about? And the whole thing has to be upended completely by the people for the people. So I want to encourage my listeners who are listening here tonight, and for you, Krista, to go watch that film. I told Chris Burgard, who's the director. I said, you know, it was a 2-hour film. I don't usually watch a lot of movies, but I watched the whole thing because sometimes I'm just kind of listening to the movie off here over to the side.
Yeah,
it was a movie that I stopped everything and just watched it. It's really good. And I said, and I went through the entire gamut of emotions from being really angry to being very sad to being feeling kind of hopeless, like, how do we get out of this, to being hopeful that there are people that are, you know, they showed people who were in prison, and that every night at 9 o'clock, all of the people were in prison that were in there for J6 sing the national anthem.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's a very touching film. So I hope that everybody that's listening to this will go to hisglory.tv, look up the movie, The War on Truth, and watch it. Everybody needs to see it. I think to rent the movie, it's like $7 or something, which is just a good donation to His Glory. So, well, Chris, we've got just a few more minutes left here tonight. What would you like to close with us tonight? And what words of wisdom would you like to leave our audience with here tonight?
Well, I absolutely know that, just like Trump says, that the best is yet to come. I don't want anyone to indulge in black pilling where, you know, you watch these things like the War on Truth or whatever. We started, you, me, the five docs, with telling the truth about the whole COVID situation. Talk about an inconvenient truth. And we were hoping it wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be. It's worse. However, we have stayed in motion. And this past weekend, when I was in Denver at this, you know, Galactic and Spiritual Informers Conference, the number of people, Sherry, who came up to me and said, you saved my life. By you and I speaking, and Lee and Larry, early on, we saved a lot of lives. And we're going to continue with that. We're going to keep an open heart for those who just didn't know. And there are some people that you cannot help. And I don't want people to be, you know, I've been a rescuer my whole life. Most of us are empaths. We want to heal everybody. We only remember the ones we couldn't get through to. What we have to remember is, just by doing what we've been doing relentlessly, we're part of the solution. And everyone listening can do that. Even if what you're telling people is go and rent that movie, or our big one, Splintering Babylon. And if you got perimenopausal symptoms, do not suffer. Get some of the Prairie Amorifica, drnorthrup.com.
There you go. Very good. Okay. Well, Chris, this was not disappointing, and we need to do this again because we have so many more things that we can talk about breast health and bone health and all sorts of things that have to do with women that people aren't really talking about. So I want to thank you so much for taking your time. I know you just flew back in from out of town, and so you're probably a little bit jet lagged. And so thank you so much for joining me here tonight. I knew this would be a lot of fun. And I want to thank all of my people who are listening to this. You know, this will be up for you want to listen to it again. It will be up on my Substack channel on Thursday. So you can go to dr10penny.substack.com and you can listen again and take notes. So it'll be there. And so really lots of great information here. And so with that, I want to thank everyone for joining me here tonight. I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible that I close all my podcasts with, whether they are live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, lean into God, trust Him for everything. He won't let you down. Thank you so much, Chris, for joining me tonight. And mark your calendars for next week for another episode of the Tenpenny Files on your health. Everyone, good night and God bless.
Good night.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.